Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, November 5th, 2018, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 153, reading and commenting on just one paragraph, the first paragraph, beginning with, "It may seem incredible." Today's readers are Laura A. for the 12 Steps, Reggie O. for the 12 Traditions, Wendy B., Terry C., Kathy G., and Melanie C. will be our newcomer greeter today. For the special edition for yesterday, Sunday, November 4th, is 12139. That's 12,139. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Monday, November 5th, is 12141. That's 12,141. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura A. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Laura A., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura A. And I'll now ask Reggie O. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Elaine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you.
Great, you bet. Thanks for your service this morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O. In the greater Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous, sorry about that, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Yeah, grateful to be of service this morning.
Thank you so much, Reggie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter of Vision for You. We're reading page 153, the first paragraph beginning with, "It may seem incredible," and commenting on that one paragraph. And I will ask Wendy B. to please begin reading.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. It may seem incredible that these men are to become happy, respected, and useful once more. How can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? The practical answer is that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. Should you wish them above all else and be willing to make use of our experience, we are sure they will come. The age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. And so, let's see. Do I want to be happy, respected, and useful? Or do I want to stay in my misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? So today, I'm choosing to be happy, respected, and useful. So the book says these things have happened among us. They can happen with you. And I first heard this recovery on this phone line, and the truth of others' experiences resonated with me. And then I chose to believe that I could make it happen for me, too. It was a burning desire within me to have it, too. My heart cried to have this recovery. And I made use of others' experience. I got a sponsor and worked the steps according to the visit, and the miracle happened. I'm recovered, and I'm respected and esteemed by my peers and employers and my clients and my family, versus, I used to be insecure and restless, and now I have confidence, in the work God's doing in me and through me, and I act with integrity, when others trust me. And I'm useful. I get to be of service and sponsor others in this program. And I used to feel inadequate, to help others before. And I knew I couldn't give away what I didn't have. And so I'm useful in my home and my work and being productive with my time. I still struggle with wanting, accolades and praise and recognition. But God's helping me, recognize it when it surfaces, and directing me to look for my acknowledgement in Him. And I heard on yesterday's special edition that codependency is finding and validating myself within relationship to others. So, I still do that, and I still have work to do in that area. And I'm just so grateful for this program that gives me a way to reach these goals. And so that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
So appreciate your share, Wendy B. Thank you very, very much. Who would like to comment on this paragraph today?
Yes.
Melanie C.
I heard two names at once, followed by Melanie C. What were they again?
Leia.
Leia.
Anthony S.
Leia and Anthony. And I believe it was
Leia S. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Leia S. Okay, lovely. Anybody else want to share?
Rebecca T.
Tina R.
Rebecca T. Tina R.
Kathleen O.
And Kathleen O. That's a lovely lineup. Thank you very much. This is what I have. Leia S. and Antonia. You may need to correct me on that one. S. Melanie C. Rebecca T. Tina R. and Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Leia.
It is so good to hear everyone. Thank you so very much. Okay, so this is a shout out to the newcomers. This paragraph reminds me very much of paragraph page number 9, where Bill is coming to a conclusion where he's in the desperates of desperate and the lowest of low, where he finally assesses his situation of his yo-yoing up and down and what he really is doing with his life. He is finally grouping them all together and coming to the conclusion, we have to concede to our innermost self that this is what I am doing. I cannot deal with life. I can deal with life. And I just don't know any middle way. And I don't know how to stop. So it's hopeless. But here we're coming to tell you that there is such unbelievable recovery. There are such unbelievable miracles that are happening in this very day and age. And it all lies in a simple solution. Simple. It's quite unbelievable, but it is a simple solution. Through these 12 steps and through the study of this text, it is possible. It is possible to become transformed. It is possible to be happy. And it is possible to feel good, good inside out. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Leia S. And it's actually Sunny S. that's up next, followed by Melanie C. Please go ahead, Sunny.
Hi, this is Sunny S. Can I be heard?
Yes, please go ahead.
Awesome, thank you. So before anything, my name is spelled S-A-N-N-E. I just want to put it out there since some people have trouble finding me. This paragraph actually reminds me a lot of step two. I was just talking about this with my sponsor the other day, how in the common world, it seems that we see to believe. And, you know, what I'm interpreting from this paragraph is sometimes we can believe to see, you know, in the sense of, like, how can we go from happy, you know, from hopelessness to happiness? There's a point where it says, should you wish them above all else? No, above all else, about even knowing what to believe in. It's like I'm just believing in something and I'm trusting in something for the first time. And, you know, I've learned in this program, too, that it is okay to dream and have hope. You know, it's okay to have hope that I can recover as well. And, you know, and then it says the age of miracles still with us and how, you know, the fact that other people have really accomplished that or are already there, you know, it proves that. So it is somewhat tangible, just, you know, spread out through other individuals, and yet it can happen for anyone who's willing to believe. So I really love this paragraph, actually. It's very spiritually, like, for me, at least. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sunny. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Rebecca T.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. I think the word incredible is perfect here, because when I reflect over mine, it is absolutely incredible. And this seems to be just packed, jam-packed
worth the prayer and the promise of what it is that happened to my life as a result of things. I can think that perhaps my higher power brought me to this. I don't know, but I'll tell you what, there was enough bone-crushing pain and desperation, enough to crush my ego, that I found myself in these rooms. And when they talk about the practical answer, I was finally able to see you all putting something out of the head of thinking and out of the body of mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning, to action. And that was the difference. That's what was missing for me before. I wished this for decades. I wished what I have right here today for decades. And maybe you have some of the ways in which you tried to achieve that as well. You know, over the years, there's several things I tried to employ to have this come true. None of being less that I certainly begged God to sprinkle some sort of miraculous pixie dust on me to happen. But when the two were put together, the crushed spirit that I could not get up anymore. Stay down, Melanie. My God, you're so bloody. Stay down. With that ego, the wish to have it above all else, above all else. That's what was able to be created in me. And then put together with the practical answer, which was the steps upon this disease. Once I was entirely abstinent first, then this miracle happened to somebody like me. I didn't think it was possible. I knew that I was going to go out of this life not having what I thought was some of the most important things in my life, a true way of being able to look at life differently than I had before. It is incredible, absolutely incredible. Don't miss this deal. I almost did. Find somebody in here that can hold your hand through this thing and be courageous enough to do anything you can above all else. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Rebecca T., you're up next, followed by Tina R.
Hey, it's Rebecca T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Bakersfield, California. I just wanted to say thank you all for being here. This phrase that we're reading, it definitely, it reminds me that, so I'm 10 months recovered now, and it's reminding me I want to be a newcomer every single day. Because, yes, in terms of the hope and miracles, what brought me in and what got me to stay and grab onto all the tools and, you know, just keep working these steps like crazy was I was desperate. I had tried everything else and everything else just didn't work. And so my hope was there was a small inkling of desperation and of hope that, okay, maybe this could. And I had no idea how. I had no idea, why it would work. But I just believed that I wanted it enough. And I was so desperate and just broken and falling apart physically and emotionally and spiritually that I had to grab on and try something. And so the miracle happened as I just continued to have hope in this unknown program in this and in my fellows, and I just kept saying, well, do what they do. And every day I went along and slowly the miracles happened and the fog was removed and my mind became clear and happiness followed and strength followed and love from all my fellows, which then eventually grew into a deep understanding and a development towards my higher power of my choice. And so one day and one step and 1 minute and 1 hour at a time, I can and have been happy, joyous, and free. And it is simple, simple steps. But it's not easy. The truth and the promises are there, and it has been amazing. And I'm never leaving. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca T.
Christina R., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning, Elaine B. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. That word incredible is what just jumped out on the page, from the page for me today. And doing what we've been told to do is if we don't really understand a word, or especially if we think we understand what it means. And that was my problem. I was always, quote unquote, too smart for my own good. So I've learned to really embrace that set-aside prayer. God, help me to set aside everything I think I know about people, places, and things for a new experience of you about people, places, and things. So when I look up that word incredible, the first thing it tells me is it's an adjective that means impossible to believe. And that's exactly where I had been most of my life, even though I had certain ideas about things, and especially about, you know, a concept of a higher power and my personal God, I didn't know what was going to happen, which was I would find out that I had agnosticism inside my own belief. And so really being able to use that set-aside prayer, getting the days of abstinence I needed to hear this message, a transformation happened for me. And now, as I'm guiding other people and I continue to allow this beautiful journey to unfold in my own life, I am privileged to hold a space of belief for those who aren't there yet. And I love starting off with new sponsees and seeing that glimmer of hope in them, and then me being able to shine the light on it a little bit more, and they get to grasp onto that idea that they can believe this can happen for them. And some of the synonyms for belief are incredible are magnificent, wonderful, marvelous, spectacular, remarkable, phenomenal, prodigious, breathtaking, extraordinary, unbelievable, amazing, stunning, astounding, astonishing, awe-inspiring, formidable, impressive, supreme, great, awesome, superhuman, and then there's more. So if this is what you want, then do what Mel Fee said just a minute ago. Grab hold of someone here. Get into that, register on the website. Find somebody who will take you through this and risk being able to have this open for you like it has been for so many of us. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Gina R. Kathleen O. will be our next share, and after that we'll take more people who would like to comment on the first paragraph on page 153, beginning with "It may seem incredible." Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. So good to hear you moderating this morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. It may seem incredible that these men are to become happy, respected, and useful once more. And it is incredible that what's incredible is I'm on this line. I want to be on this line in the morning. This is what I want to do. And it's incredible that I'm no longer wanting to wake up and plan how I'm going to be able to gather up my favorite binge foods and eat them in isolation. How can they rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? You know, most of us, I know I did, I came from hopelessness, helplessness, and powerlessness, and I needed a spiritual experience. I was clear self-knowledge didn't work for me. I tried everything, and frothy emotional appeal never worked. So I needed something different. You know, I needed a change, and I couldn't create this change by my effort alone. So I was able to find the grace which allowed me to be in a place of willingness. I had to be willing, and I had to be open-minded. And from entire abstinence to working the steps, we can be recovered. You know, the miracles happen, and I'm amazed when the miracles happen in my life. They happen when I stay out of the driver's seat and allow my higher power to be in charge. And it's incredible that so many of us came from hopelessness and despair, and today we're experiencing happiness and usefulness, and it truly is a miracle, and it can happen for anyone on this line. You know, being recovered a day at a time, it happens as long as we foster the shield of grace and power, and as long as we continue to improve to enlarge our relationship with our higher power. You know, happily not eating is a miracle. And happily not eating our alcoholic foods may seem incredible, but I'm here to tell you it's real and it can happen for you. It takes willingness, staying open-minded, and taking action. Action is that big part of this. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. So again, we're commenting on the first paragraph on page 153, begins with, "It may seem incredible." Who would like to comment on that paragraph?
Beatrice.
Was there a Lisa R?
Becca R.
Joanne B.
Carrie B. Sherry KB, and was there a Joanne? No, I heard Joanne
Julie.
B. Julie.
Maybe.
All right. Okay, and Kathy G, what's up?
Thanks, Elaine.
Okay, I may not have all the, I know I don't have all the first initials of your last name, so if I don't say it, do please share that when you share. I have Robin, Becca, Beatrice, Joanne B., Sherry K. B., Julie B., and Kathy G., and hopefully we can fit you all. So, Robin, what's the first initial of your last name?
P as in Peter.
P. Please go ahead, Robin.
Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. This is Robin in Los Angeles, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. So happy to be on this line. You know, this paragraph to me is so powerful and just tells the whole story, because I was incredulous when I came in and thought, how can this be? I heard people say they were recovered. And I thought, how can this be? Wow, they say that. And I think someone needs to just mute themselves. But, and I think that it's so powerful to me that the age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. And to me, that's exactly the whole thing. Because I know the power of words. I've worked with several thought leaders on things that, you know, they stress that there's so much power in your words. And listen to your words, because your words have energy and it's so important. And by saying that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, that is exactly the truth today, and that's a miracle. And I've had so many miracles of grace in this program, and I just wanted to thank you all, because one of them is that when I came into this program almost 3 years ago on these phone lines, and I was just really did not want to be on the planet anymore. And every day my prayer was, please, God, take me home. And instead I got catapulted into this program. And 2 years ago, my ex-husband asked me to go to church with him. And I went and I heard God say, Merry Christmas. This is my gift to both of you. And we got a second chance. And we've been living together very happily. And both of us in recovery. And we're getting married this Saturday at 11 a.m. And that is a gift of this program. So I just wanted to say that the age of miracles is still with us. And God bless everybody in your recovery. Thank you for letting me share.
Congratulations, Robin. Thank you for sharing today. Becca, may we please have the first initial of your last name and then Beatrice also after Becca shares.
Hi, this is Becca R., recovered in Kentucky. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Wow, what a great share to follow. Congratulations. I am just drawn to the very last sentence of that paragraph, our own recovery proves it. And I know for myself, days that just seem mundane or just seem like I'm putting, you know, heel to toe in front of one foot in front of the other, I can think, you know, I feel like a balloon that is, you know, the clown is like holding the bunch of balloons and there's that one straggly balloon just barely holding on, and feel like I'm getting disconnected. But then I have to remember, you know, the miracle that I am, the miracle that my mundane existence in today is still an absolute miracle. I'm abstinent. I'm free from the obsession. I'm connected to a higher power. And just that I can be of service and be useful. And every time I tell a newcomer or just another person in recovery any kind of experience of my own, which I do so often in outreach calls or sponsorship, it reminds me, oh my gosh, this is a miracle. I'm able to do this work, that I'm able to recover and to be able to share my experience, not any knowledge, just exactly what happened to me. And what happened to me is I worked the 12 steps with a sponsor and I became abstinent and I'm living a different life. A life I never thought would be imaginable, and the really neat part is that it's happened so easily. I finally came in and I surrendered and I said, "I want what you have. I'm going to do what you do," and I'm just so grateful today, and I'm so grateful that I can look out at this beautiful fall day and the leaves are changing colors, and I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude that I can be, like, participate in my life instead of being distracted by my life because I can't be in the food. So that's all I had to share. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Becca R. Beatrice, please share your first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Joanne B. I think I heard Beatrice. And perhaps I did not. Joanne B., I have you up next then, followed by Sherry KB.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Is this Joanne?
Yes, this is Joanne B. from Texas. And thank you all for your comments this morning and every day. You're such a blessing. You know, when I think about this place of incredible happiness, you know, it's amazing to me what the changes that have happened in me throughout this last 18 months. And as others have said in the past and even today, you know, there are times when one of the things that I realized was I had agnostic beliefs within my own belief system, and that was a surprise, and it was wonderful to learn the set aside prayer and to humble myself to set aside those things that I thought I knew, and to not fear that, but just to trust my God with that I would be shown those things that I needed to change or that he would change in me. And just learning, I remember at the very beginning, all I could say was, today I want to remember to trust. I want to remember to trust. And now it's not quite as scary to trust, and it's just wonderful. And one of the things that I'd like to share is I got to go and spend time with my son, and it's usually a very difficult situation. He's high-spirited, and he wants his voice heard, and he probably learned that through me. I always wanted to be heard. You didn't have to agree, but I just wanted to be heard. And I remember he's getting passionate about what he's saying, and instead of defending myself or my thought, I smiled, I looked at him, and I said, "Well, you know, we can just agree to disagree." And he gave me this precious look, and here's this young man, I mean, he's a man, he's not a boy, and he gives me this look, and he just, the relief that went all over his body, you could just see the release of tension, and he said, "Yeah, okay." And that whole weekend was so wonderful. And when I was leaving, he said to me, "I'm so glad you got to come and visit us." And, you know, instead of this feeling of I can't wait to leave, it was, I'm so glad. And anyway, this program is wonderful. I'm so blessed to have all of you in my life. And I also encourage those who are listening to be brave and just try keep coming back. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne B. Sherry K. B., you're up next, followed by Julie B. And I may have been hearing things. I thought I heard Sherry K. B., but maybe it was just Julie B. Sherry, did you want to share? All right. Please forgive me. Julie B., you're up next, followed by Kathy G. Julie B.? Did I miss out again? Oh, please forgive me, you guys. It's been a little while since I've been catching these names.
This is right. Julie E.B. I was having some trouble getting unmuted. I don't know what was going on.
So glad you did. Thank you. So I'm not glad you had trouble, but I'm glad you got unmuted, Julie E.B. We look forward to hearing your share, and you'll be followed by Kathy G. Please go ahead.
All right. Yeah, it may seem incredible. Happy, respected, and useful once more. How can they rise? What a beautiful picture to rise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness. I had misery. I had isolation. I was physically trapped in my body, emotionally trapped and stuck in all my old stories and resentments. I was trapped by my fears. My bad repute, my behavior was inconsistent and untrustworthy, and I would lose my emotional sobriety and blame everybody around me and myself. And even at work, I would just talk all the time about my problems, and I was just, I always thought I was just too intense, too much. That was the hopelessness. Like, if someone really got to know me, there was nothing to get to know. I just thought I was just never good enough. I would go into a diet mode, a restrictive mode, anorexic bulimic mode, and then control everything. But the rest of my life was still out of control. And then the weight would be back on again, the binge would be on again. These things have happened among us. These things have happened to me. So they can happen to you. Now I am happy, respected, and useful, even though I have some really challenging circumstances in my life. You know, I've shared before, I was hired for a job I applied for 3 times when I was in the food. I was asked to do a special thing for the CEO of our company this week. And who knew that I could be seen that way. And part of the reason I could be seen that way is my boss says, hey, you know your strengths and your weaknesses. That all came from the 4th step. I can look at them. I don't have to be ashamed that I have defects. I ask God to remove them. I keep working on them. And useful. I'm not lost in the food for days at a time. I'm not lost in the drama of my life for days at a time. And I'm not looking to other people, places, things, or the food to be my God and provide care and protection and direction and security and self-esteem and all those things I need. Now I find a higher power that doesn't say you're not enough. My higher power says you can be who you are, and that is enough. You are a growing, unfolding child of the universe. This is a miracle. Make use of my experience. These miracles will come. Thanks for letting me share. And feel free to call and reach out. I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. Kathy G. is up next, and we'll have time for a few more shares after that.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks so much, and good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. And first, I just want to apologize for my tardiness this morning. When I got a text that they were calling my name, I was on with a newcomer. And I thought to myself, wow, I have neutrality around the food, but my ADD is still a work in progress. So I sincerely apologize, and I commit to the group that I will set an alarm so that I can hear it, even if I'm on the phone with someone, to remind myself. So thank you for that, for your grace. I just really wanted to focus on the word miracle, because I just think we are all miracles who have come out of the pit of despair into the fourth dimension. And I looked up the definition of the word miracle, and the line in the big book is, "The age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that." And miracle in the dictionary says, "A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency," as in the miracle of rising from the grave. "A highly improbable or extraordinary event, development, or accomplishment that brings very welcome consequences, or an amazing product or achievement, or an outstanding example of something." And this is just a crazy gift that we have, that we get to be miracles, because it's nothing short of a miracle that after all of the years of trying to figure out how to stay stopped with certain substances, you know, that caused me immeasurable harm, that I am here today, however imperfect, but clear and recovering, and have a fellowship of people around me that I get to walk with, and that we get to help each other. And I'm just beyond grateful for this miracle. So I just wanted to share that this morning and spread some love onto the line. And thanks again for your grace. And I hope you have a great day. All right, goodbye.
Thank you very much, Kathy G. So we have time for two or three more comments on the first paragraph on page 153. Who'd like to share?
Patty M. from New York.
Perry.
Lane
Patty
B. NEC.
Patty M.
Sorry, Kate. Okay, I heard a lot of names here. I heard Patty M, and I heard Terry, and I believe I heard Alea?
Lane C.
Okay.
Did you hear Sherry K?
Sherry KB? Is that Sherry KB or Sherry K?
This is Carrie okay. K from Colorado.
Oh, Carrie K. Okay.
Beecher.
Okay. We definitely do not have time for everybody. So we're going to start with Patty M., Terry, Lane C., and we'll see if we can get to everybody. And then I have Carrie on the list here. So Patty M., please go ahead. You'll be followed by Terry.
Great. Thank you so much, everyone. My name is Patty M. I'm recovering from a eating disorder, and I'm enormously grateful for all of you and the service that you do and for the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor died about 2 weeks ago, and she's my sponsor for 12 years, and I could slowly feel myself unraveling. And I woke up this morning with some thinking in my head that was not recovered thinking. And so she had told me about this meeting, and I had forgotten about it. And I'm out of town as well. So I called, and you were all there, and the age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that, should you wish them above all else. And that's been my experience. When I get any slight eating disordered thought, I want recovery more than anything else. I don't ever want to go back to the way that it was. And just reading that simple paragraph also reminds me that the miracles are so what might seem simplistic to some. I'm going out to lunch with a friend of mine today. I didn't eat for weeks on end. The fact that I'm actually doing that is one of the small miracles that comes from being in recovery in this program. And I guess what I learned is that it is a daily reprieve contingent upon my spiritual condition, and I need to stay connected. And I need to get a new sponsor so that I didn't want to replace her, but I think it's time. I cannot do this on my own. I will not stay abstinent if I don't have all of you and a constant reminder of the miracles that can happen when I work the program through this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So again, thank you for your service. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you very much, Patty M. Terry, maybe
hello, this is Beatrice. I haven't shared yet.
I know, Beatrice. We have three people lined up before you. We do have your name on the list, but I'm not sure if we'll get to you. We only have about 5 minutes of sharing left. So we had Terry next, followed by Lane. And Terry, may we have the first initial of your last name as you share, please?
Sure. Sure. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. This is Terry C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Okay. I read it this morning, heard it this morning on this morning's meeting, early meeting, and now it's just resonating with me again and again and again. Should you wish them above all else? I have to ask myself that every day. When I walked in here, did I want the hope that other people demonstrated they were experiencing? And did I want it above my alcoholic foods? Did I want it above the self-loathing and the misery that I kept feeling over and over and over again? Did I want it above that feeling of uselessness and, you know, definitely self-pity? Did I want it above all that? And, of course, you know, once the answer became easy, like, you know, I definitely wanted that. I didn't want to keep experiencing that. Then I could be open to the experiences that others were having that they told me they were having, you know, that they were unblocking themselves, that they were accessing a God beyond their wildest dreams. And that was true at the beginning, and it's true every day. Do I wish above all else to have the experience, strength, and hope that I hear others sharing? It may not be, you know, my alcoholic foods because, you know, God's lifted that obsession from me, but it may be the detachment that you have from your child that I'm not experiencing, or it may be an unhealthy dependency that I still have in my marriage or in the relationship that you've recovered from. And if I want that above all else, and I'm willing to do what you do and reach out and use the fellowship so that I can, you know, hear and share experience, strength, and hope, I know that the main thing that the hope is coming from is accessing a power greater than myself, and that's going to keep happening as long as I keep, you know, hanging with my tribe, and my tribe is devoted to accessing the great reality deep down inside of me and of everyone else. And it just really struck me this morning that this whole paragraph is about going from hopeless to hope, and the steps are the way, and accessing God and getting along with others and being true to ourselves, it all happens that way. But the fellowship is such a wonderful tool that I have available to me to make that happen, you know, to help that happen. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry C. Lane C., you have 2 minutes. And Carrie and Beatrice, I'm so sorry, we don't have time for you, but I'm hoping you'll call a newcomer and share your share with them. So Lane C., please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. My name is Lane C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Rochester, New York. And I think what's speaking to me in this paragraph today is the ways that these steps have helped me to move from more self-centeredness to being of service and to being of use to others. When it talks about this misery, bad repute, and hopelessness, I know for me that those pieces set in when I am spending a lot of time up in my own head and trying to control things and living in the midst of self-will and trying to really figure it all out on my own. And I know that that from my experience that being happy, respected, and useful, I had to work these steps to get there. And this is what happens in my life when I am no longer in that self-centered place. And I'm so grateful to have the willingness to make use of the experiences of others. And I really want to encourage folks who are here on the line right now, folks who are newcomers, to reach out, to make use of the experiences of others, to make those phone calls. And also it's a good reminder to me right now, as someone who's been in the program for a while, for me to reach out to those who are new, to remind myself to reach out to those folks who are new on the line today, who introduced themselves, to make our experiences of use. Because I can stay here and stay stuck in my head and stuck in my self-will and be in those places of misery, bad repute, and hopelessness if I'm not doing that kind of work. And so I'm just so grateful for the ways that folks have been of service to others and of service to me in my life, and so grateful for the opportunity to be of service with other people today, with other folks who are struggling with this disease. I mean, the hope is that we don't have to struggle with this disease any longer. The hope is that we can live with this and have a daily reprieve one day at a time in a place
gentle
of neutrality.
Reminder.
So with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Lane C., and thank you, everybody who has shared. We will now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Terry C. please read a vision for you?
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your path. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.